Amen. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. Glad that you were here tonight. I don't know about y'all, but I love, love, love the chance to spend some time worshiping the Lord midweek. Are you guys glad you're here? All right. Y'all thank Brad real quick for leading worship every Wednesday night. He does an incredible job. Love having him up there. Phenomenal job. I want you guys to go ahead and think about your friends. All right. Think about that best friend, that one friend that's always there for you, that one friend that sticks up there with you. And I guess y'all know who that friend is for me because it's already on the screen. If you don't recognize us, that's me in the middle and Stephen Miori on, I guess, the left side. That's with hair and the Michael Jordan Jumpman headband on. We were at the beach and it was really, really cold in that picture. But Stephen Miori is one of my best friends. And when I think about the one that's going to be there, the one that can give me godly wisdom, godly counsel, godly advice, the guy that can hold me accountable, the guy that I have a lot of memories with, and we've done a lot of crazy things and a lot of fun things together, it goes back to him. So I want you guys to get that picture in your head, that friend in your head of who that is in your life, that one that you know is always going to be there. Stephen and I have been friends probably since, I guess, the end of my junior year in high school, the end of his sophomore year. I'm a year older than him. And we had known each other for a long time before that, but for some reason we weren't really friends, and I don't even think that he liked me. To be honest, we just had this thing where we didn't really like each other and never really hung out because I guess we didn't think we had anything in common. But then once we finally became friends, we spent a lot of time together and hung out a lot together. We've actually been a lot of places together. We've been all over the world together. Next picture has us in another country when we're a little bit older. He has less hair. I have more weight. in the next one, I think, if we have it. There we go. Okay. So we've been to England together. Then the next picture. We've been to another spot in Europe together. We've been to Greece together. That picture's coming up there in a minute. You guys can just click through as we do it. Very nice. And then we've got this group of guys. We always spend, it's coming up in a couple of weeks, we always spend a weekend in September together and do a little hunting trip. And then this next picture my wife put out on Instagram today, I thought it was sort of funny. That's an old picture. That's when we're your age, okay? That's when we went to homecoming together, and I don't think that we were really friends at that point, but our wives were, and so they sort of made us be, or our girlfriends at the time, I guess, were, and so they sort of made us be friends with one another, and maybe that's how it started. But that's when, I think I'm 17 and he's 16, and so that was our high school days together. And it's really, really cool to see sort of how our lives have changed and morphed, okay? We've had this friendship that's been a lasting friendship, okay? We've been friends for a very, very long time, and I'm confident that's because of our relationship in the Lord, okay, and the way that we have our relationship with the Lord with one another. And it's really, really cool how God can bring friends together and use people to influence lives in a really, really big way. So we went from that to a picture that was taken a couple of weeks ago, that stage of our life to this stage of our life, now with friends that all have kids and strollers and babies, and it is a totally, totally different time than it was several years ago. But it's really cool to reflect back on my life and to think about the friendships that God has placed in my life. Guys, friends are incredibly important. Okay, I cannot overestimate how important friends are in my life, and guys, how important friends are going to be in your life. Friends make the good times that much better. Friends make the bad times that much more bearable because they're there to be with you, to love on you, to help you through the really, really tough times in your life. And there's a quote that we've shared with you guys over and over probably the past 3 years once we came across it, and it's this. Think about this for a second, okay? Don't get lost in it. Think about it. Friends have the ability to determine the direction and the destination of your life. Okay, think about that. Friends have the ability to determine the direction and the destination of your life. The people that you surround yourself with are the people that you're going to end up being like, okay? The company that you surround yourself with, the people, the kind of character that you surround yourself with, slowly you're going to see yourself sort of morphing into those people that you surround yourself with, guys. So the people that you surround yourself with are a huge, huge thing in your life. It's a huge thing in Scripture. It's a very important thing to remember. It's a very important thing to remember and to think about even now, okay? Because the people that you surround yourself with now could be the people that you're still surrounded by 10, 15, 20 years later, okay? You never know how God's going to work things out in your life. So as we're talking about friends tonight, I want you guys to think about it right now. Think about who your friends are. Think about those people that are close to you. Think about those people that you've got those fun memories with, those crazy memories with. Think about the first phone call you would make tonight if you found out some incredible news, some exciting news, someone asked you to homecoming, you got accepted to the college you wanted to go to, whatever. Who's the first phone call with that exciting news, okay? And now think about who's the first phone call if you get really, really depressing news tonight, okay? Really, really sad news tonight. Something comes into your life that you just weren't expecting, that you were blindsided by. Who's that first phone call? Who do you turn to? Who do you lean on? More than likely, it's a friend, okay? More than likely, it's someone that God's put in your life to be a friend to you. And so as we dive into Scripture tonight, as we look at what a godly friendship looks like, as we look at the impact a friend can have on somebody's life, I want you to think about the impact that your friends are having in your life, okay? That's easy. We can think about that really, really easily. And then I want you to do this, okay? We're going to flip it around as well. So think about this. Not only the impact people are having in your life, but think about the impact you're having in other people's life as a friend. Okay, I'm going to say it again. Think about the impact that you are having in other people's life as a friend. Okay, because it goes both ways, and we're going to see that as we dive into Scripture together. So if you got your Bible, open up to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at two guys, okay? One is much more famous than the other when we turn to Scripture, okay? We're going to look at Paul. A lot of you guys have heard of him. And then we're going to look at one of his friends, all right? Let me give you a little bit of background on Paul so you can understand how big a deal this friendship and this relationship is. Paul wrote basically this portion right here of the Bible, okay? I'd say that's a pretty big deal. If you wrote stuff that's now in the Bible, you were a big deal, okay? You had something going right. There was something that was right about you and the way that you were living and your relationship with Christ. So Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, okay? A lot of those letters that are in the back, Paul wrote two different people. So Paul is a very, very big deal, but wasn't always that way, and his life didn't always line up with Christ the way that it did when he was writing those letters. Quick story on his life. Paul was very anti-Jesus, okay? He was very anti-Christian as he was a young man, as he was growing up. In fact, he was so anti-Jesus and so anti-Christian that he spent a good majority of his time tracking down Christians and either putting them in jail or just straight up killing them, okay? He was not a nice guy. He did some pretty rough stuff and some pretty bad stuff. So he spent a lot of time doing this, okay? A lot of you guys know that background in his life. He's killing Christians. In fact, there's this one time where he's on this journey to go to a new city to persecute more Christians that had escaped his city right there in Jerusalem. So he's going to this new city, and he has this radical encounter with God. Raise your hand if you've heard of Paul on the road to Damascus and that big encounter he had. So he encounters God in an incredible way, in a miraculous way. He continues to go into the city, and when he's in the city, God sends someone to him to talk to him. And when that guy talks to Saul, was his name, then changed to Paul, when someone talks to him, instantly the Bible says that the scales are removed from his eyes. Instantly, it turned into his life into this relationship with Christ. He knew who Christ was. He accepted who Jesus was. He became a Christian. He became a believer in that moment. And this is really cool, okay? If you're a Christian in the room, think about your first steps as a Christian and the first few things that you did and the first few things that Paul did, okay? Immediately, when Paul became a believer, it's really, really cool to see what he did. He surrounded himself with other believers. He surrounded himself with people that were a little bit older than him, that were a little bit more mature in their faith than him, that knew a little bit more about a relationship with Christ than him because they had lived it. So he surrounds himself with these people, and he starts to learn. And then the Bible says immediately after he does this, he's this brand new Christian. He starts preaching and teaching in the streets. Okay, he had this incredible encounter with God, and he couldn't keep it quiet. He's immediately running up and down the streets telling people about Jesus. Okay, now this is the guy that just a couple of days before was rounding up Christians, killing them, throwing them in jail, and instantly, okay, he has this radical encounter with Christ. He has these older people around him that are investing in his life, and now he's walking up and down the streets telling people about Jesus. Okay, so his old friends, the people that he might have traveled to this city with that still did not like Christians, didn't like this. And so he's at this place in his life where he's sort of in the middle, and he doesn't really have any friends. His old friends are gone, okay? They don't want anything to do with him anymore because he's radically changed his life. Some of you guys can probably relate to that, okay? I know there's people in this room that when they decided to follow Christ, they had to walk away from some relationships. Or when they decided to follow Christ, you guys maybe lost some different friends. I know that there's people in this room like that because that's how it was for me, okay? I know there's people in here like that, and that's where Paul found himself, okay? He had lost these relationships, okay? They're gone in his life. And in fact, these are now people that want to see him dead. They want to see him in jail. They want to see him killed. And so he has to run, okay? And it actually says in Acts chapter 9 that he's lowered in a basket out a window to get out of that city. And the Bible says that he runs for Jerusalem, okay? He's coming to Jerusalem because he knows that the leaders of the church, the apostles, they're in Jerusalem. He knows that if he can get to them and talk to them about his changed life, he'll be accepted into this church. He'll be accepted into this body of believers. He'll have people to mentor him, people to invest in his life. He'll have friends to lean on. He'll have people to take care of him. And his whole life will be different because he'll be a part of that new faith family when he gets into the city of Jerusalem. Okay, so imagine his journey there. Okay, he feels alone. Okay, he's this brand new Christian. He doesn't have anybody around him. He doesn't have anybody supporting him. He feels alone. He's going back to a city where he spent a ton of time throwing Christians in jail, where he spent a ton of time executing Christians, that kind of thing. And so as I'm thinking about his life, as I'm thinking about what's going through his head, he knows that he's going back to a city where everybody is talking about him. Okay? He knows that his old friends are talking about the change that he's made in his life, and they hate him for it. He knows that the Christians are talking about him because of what he used to do, and can his new life really be a real life? Okay, so he's knowing that this is going on, and you've got to just think that he's scared, that he feels awkward. It never feels good when you know people are talking about you, especially when they're not talking about you in a good way. Okay, so that's what he's walking into when he goes back to the city of Jerusalem. He's at a very, very low place in his life. Okay, he's at a very, very scary place in his life. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 26, it says this: when he, Paul, came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. Okay, I mean, he tried to join up with the church. He tried to connect with them. He tried to plug in to the body of believers. He tried to get with other Christians. But look what happens. It says, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he really was a disciple. Let me tell you what happened there. We have a guy that radically changed his life. He had this incredible encounter with Jesus. He did a full 180 in the way that he was living. And one of the first things that he did was he went to the church, hoping to find people that were going to accept him, hoping to find people that believed in him, hoping to find people that were going to bring him in, hoping to find people that were going to let him be part of what was going on, part of the family, part of the group, part of the body of believers. And when he walked up to him, when he got there, when he knocked on the door, and when he first tried to talk to the disciples, he wasn't let in. The believers, the church, the people, they rejected him because of his past. Okay, they rejected him because of things that had happened in his life, because of things that he had done. Think about that for a second. The church didn't believe that God had changed his life. Okay, I understand, why they thought that and why they were nervous. They might have thought that he was trying to get in there just to turn them in or put them in jail or whatever, but they had heard about this life change that he had, and they didn't believe it. And so we've got this guy that tries to get connected to the church, and he's sent away from the church. He's not accepted in the church. He's not accepted in the body of believers. Guys, my prayer is that would never happen here. I would hate to hear about that happening here. I would hate for someone to come to our church that had God change their life and we sent them away because we didn't believe that God had made a change in their life, or we sent them away because we didn't like their past, or we sent them away because of something that they had done before God got a hold of their life. So guys, this is just a little side note. This isn't where we're going to stop. Guys, when people come to us, this is a place where they should feel loved, where they should feel accepted, where they should feel a part of what is going on. Okay, Paul, okay, this guy whose life was totally changed, got sent away by the people, by the leaders, by those that were in charge of the church. Okay, and that could have been a huge turning point in his life. His life could have turned out vastly different because of what happened right there. But something happened in the next verse to change everything. It says this in verse 27, but Barnabas took Paul, and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, who had his name changed to Paul, how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and how the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So we've got Paul, okay? at this low point in his life. Paul, this guy that had been rejected. Paul, this guy that didn't have any friends. Paul, this guy that didn't have any believers that were willing to surround him and pour into him and invest in him. He gets rejected by the church, and this guy Barnabas sees what happens. Now, there's something to note here, okay? Paul and Barnabas, they're not friends at this point, okay? Barnabas doesn't really know Paul. Barnabas doesn't really know him personally. It's not like they have this long friendship where they're good friends, and so he decides to stick up for him because he's a good friend. Barnabas decides to stick up for Paul because he saw how God had worked in his life. And what happens there, Barnabas sticks up for him. Barnabas grabs him and brings him back up to the church and said, listen, I'm going to vouch for this guy. This guy is real. This guy is legit. God has changed his life. God's done something huge in his heart and in his life. We need to let him in. We need to let him be a part of what's going on here in the church. And so when he did that, it's really cool. It says in verse 28, it says, Saul stayed with them and moved about freely in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. So you could almost argue, okay, that Paul's ministry right there was kicked off by Barnabas. Barnabas goes up to the church. He brings Paul into the church with him. And because of that friendship that's forged right there, okay, because of the steps that Barnabas makes to reach out to someone when they're hurting or to stand up for someone when they really, really need it, guys, Paul's life has changed and ultimately his ministry has changed. And it says right there he was allowed in Jerusalem and he begins sharing the gospel and he begins preaching and he begins teaching. And we can read those next few verses and see how tons of people begin giving their life to the Lord in the city of Jerusalem. And we can read the rest of the book of Acts and see on and on and on and on how that one instance where Barnabas sticks up for Paul, where Barnabas becomes a friend to someone who really needs a friend, changes not only a life, okay, but changes a city and ultimately changes a world because he stood up for someone, he poured into someone when they needed it most, okay? Not someone that he was best friends with, not someone that he knew could give him something in return. He stood up for someone that he knew needed to be stood up for, okay? And that was the beginning of a friendship and a ministry where those two guys lasted years together, changing the world together. And so what I want to encourage you guys with tonight is to look for those people around you, okay? There's people that God places in your life. There's people that God places in your path that simply need a friend. They simply need a friend. Okay, they don't need a lot. They need a believer. They need a Christian. They need someone that loves Jesus to show the love of Jesus to them. And guys, when we do that, we never know how their world can be changed and turned around. Okay? I sent out a Facebook post and a little Twitter message yesterday asking if anybody has a story about when a friend had stood up for them and really made an impact in their life. And I got tons of messages and emails and text messages and all that kind of stuff about how a lot of people in this room have had someone in their life stand up for them when they really, really needed it, and it had an impact on their life and an impact on their personal relationship with Christ. And so Vicky's going to come up real quick, and she's going to share with us just a little bit of her story about how she was in a place. Yeah, give it up for her. About how she was in a place, and she needed someone to step in and stand up for her in her life, and they did that. And made a huge impact on her walk and on her life. So I'm going to ask her a few questions, and she's going to sort of share what God did in her life and in her heart. So when did you first start coming to Champion Forest? When was your first time or visit here?
In fifth grade.
Okay, fifth grade. So she'd been around for quite a while. And when she transitioned into high school, when she moved from eighth grade to ninth grade, and a lot of you freshmen in here understand exactly what that's like. You're going through it right now. She had transitioned from eighth grade and then ninth grade and went through sort of a tough period in her life. Just want to share, you don't have to give us all the details, but just a little bit about what happened in your life when you moved into ninth grade.
Okay, I go to Cy Ridge and there's not a lot of Christians there. And I was really boy crazy and I was really like, I wasn't a very nice person, and people at my school made my reputation as bad as possible. They talked really bad about me, and they like, some people even told me that, like, they hated me, and I was a terrible person, and, and I came to church, like, all the time, but I didn't really have any, like, true friends,
right.
And I don't know, it was just really, like, it was a really tough time. And I was really depressed, and yeah.
So did you say you were at a time in your life, things were going very, very bad. You mentioned you were depressed and you struggled with that throughout your freshman year. And did you feel like you were alone or like you had somebody at school or church or whatever?
I had no one.
Like, okay, so you felt totally alone.
Yes.
Okay, at school, at church, wherever you went, you felt alone. There was nobody to turn to, nobody to discuss this with. You were just sort of out there by yourself.
Yes, and I was not a believer.
Not a believer at the time. Okay, so what changed in your life? I know that you're in an awesome place now and you're walking with the Lord. And so something happened in your life and someone stepped into your life. Tell us a little bit about that and sort of what happened and who and what went on from there.
Yeah, freshman year, I came to Freedom Weekend and I met this girl, Michelle. And we became friends. I mean, but not like close. We were like acquaintances. And then at the girls' retreat, like a couple of months later, she actually came up to me and she was really actually like concerned about me. And she was like, oh, how are you? And I was like, oh my gosh, she cares about me. And I don't know, we just really started talking more. And I really looked up to her and she helped me grow in my faith a lot. And we were on the same team at camp and she helped me like overcome like depression. And she just helped me like get to really like know Jesus, and yeah, she's my best friend.
That's awesome. So you're in a place, and just to sort of recap and condense it so you guys can sort of see what was going on, like Vicky had come to CFBC from the time that she was in fifth grade, and she just never really made those connections with people here. There was no one that she really could turn to that was sort of pouring into her life, and went through some really tough stuff as a freshman in high school, and was just at a place where she really didn't have anybody to turn to. And it was really, really cool. Michelle Schindler, right? Michelle Schindler, you know, they connected at Freedom Weekend. I think because you might have put down the wrong age so that you could be in her group. But they connected at Freedom Weekend. They connected at this girls' conference. And they weren't really friends at the time, but God just put on Michelle's heart to reach out to her and invest in her life. And it's really, really cool to see how she's given her life to the Lord and grown her walk and her faith since then because somebody reached out to her and invested in her life as a friend, right? Yeah. That's very, very cool. Y'all give it up for Vicky. It's tough to get up here, and we appreciate it. But here, guys, here's the cool thing. Like when we look in the Bible at Paul and Barnabas' life, guys, it started when Paul was at a time in his life where he needed somebody to invest in him. He needed someone to pour into him. He needed someone to believe in him. And because Barnabas believed in him, Paul's life was changed. His ministry was changed. And it's really cool to continue reading the book of Acts and see how they went on missionary journeys together, how they ministered in Jerusalem together and Cyprus together and all of like Southeast Asia together, and saw hundreds and thousands of people give their lives to Christ. And it all started because Barnabas reached out and was a friend to someone that needed a friend. Okay, he was a friend to someone that needed a friend. So guys, Paul needed a friend, and his life and his ministry totally changed because of it. Okay, and regardless of what you think, guys, you need Christian friends. Okay, you need people in your life that are going to push you closer to Christ, that are going to draw you deeper into a relationship with Christ. Okay, you need them. And guys, this is something that's really weird to think about, okay? And this is thinking way down the road. This is something that might totally be off your radar, guys, but your friendships can literally change the world. Okay, your friendships can change people. Your friendships can change your school. Your friendships can change your families, your teams, your neighborhoods, your communities. Guys, your friendships can change so much. Your friendships can point so many people to Jesus. So think about your friendships, okay? Think about those that are close to you. And guys, think about this. Think about this. Think about how you can be a friend to someone that needs it, okay? Think about how you can be a friend to someone that needs it. Barnabas was a friend to a guy that needed it. That guy's life and ministry ended up changing. He was one of the greatest missionaries the world has ever seen. He wrote a good portion of the New Testament of our Bible. You never know what reaching out and being a friend to someone that needs a friend can do in their life and ultimately in their ministry and ultimately in our world, okay? So I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you guys, okay? You'll talk about it in your tables here in just a minute. I want to challenge you guys to look for someone this week that needs a friend, okay? Ask God to put someone on your heart that you know needs a friend, that you know needs someone to pour into them and to invest in their life. You never know. God could have put you in their life to be that friend, to draw them closer and deeper into that relationship with Him. Okay, let's pray.